Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health: their food. What she's discovered is that the way that many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that can be wrecking your dog's health. And this is true for even many premium brands. Fortunately, she's found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone could do the same thing to see incredible changes to their dog's health. I've got two dogs, and I want them to be with me for a very long time. There's a lot of good stuff here that made me think about how most dog foods are made, what to avoid for my dogs, and superfoods that are great for them. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/baseball and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/baseball.
Wow, like that's a great pitch. You know, located that well, ump gives it to you. The hitter knows the zone and he just goes, yeah, tap, tap. Oh, that's, you know, half an inch off. Sorry.
Welcome everyone to Hot Sheet. Yeah, let's go. It's a big day here on the Baseball America YouTube channel, as well as the podcast page, wherever you get your pods, and all the social media feeds here at Baseball America. Also, make sure you get yourself a subscription, especially today. It's a good day to do so because we are making some award announcements, and we are going to do it live right here on the show, and we are going to bring those winners right here onto the show as well. If you'd like to learn more about Jackson Jobe, top pitching prospect getting called up by the Detroit Tigers, we have a prospect profile already up on the Baseball America YouTube channel and wherever you get your pods. So go there for that. But JJ, I'd like you to announce the 2024 Baseball America Minor League Baseball Player of the Year, and then we will bring him in soon after that. So I'll kick it over to you if you want to give us a little bit on how this all got put together, and then we'll bring him in a moment.
So this is a biggie. This is our award that we've been doing since 1981, the first year of Baseball America. And it's an award that we want to have staying power. We pick the player who had the best season in the minor leagues, but also one who we believe is going to go on to greatness. And we've seen that. We have three Hall of Famers who've been Minor League Player of the Year: Frank Thomas, Derek Jeter, Joe Mauer. We've had numerous MVPs who've been Player of the Year, including recently Ronald Acuna, Bobby Witt Jr., who's in the consideration this year, Gunnar Henderson. This is a very storied award, and we're very excited this year to announce that our 2024 Baseball America Minor League Player of the Year is Red Sox infielder, Christian Campbell. So congratulations to Christian, who just had a dominating season, started the year in high A, dominated, moved up to double A, dominated, moved up to triple A, dominated, and did so really kind of is probably, I would say, one of the most remarkable seasons we've seen from the standpoint of this is a player who was a fourth round pick just last year. And we've gone from seeing him, you know, be a fourth round pick out of Georgia Tech, played one season at Georgia Tech, redshirted, and then had a 2023 season, to a player who's knocking on the door of the big leagues already just a year later, and showed power, 20 plus home runs, speed, 20 plus stolen bases, and versatility. He played 25 plus games at second base, shortstop, and center field. Also played some third base as well. And it's just kind of a pretty much a remarkable season, and one that was really, to be honest, kind of an easy decision to make at the end of the day. There are years where it's a back and forth, a really tight one. And then there are years like this one where one player just kind of raises them, you know, the bar a little bit above everyone else. And as good as we had seasons from Colby Mayo, from teammate Roman Anthony, from Luke Kuechel, but here we are with Christian Campbell, our 2024 Baseball America Minor League Player of the Year. And Christian, congratulations. Thank you for joining us. I guess the first question I have is just kind of your path here. Like, at, you know, if we're talking about going into the 2023 season at Georgia Tech, could you ever imagine that you'd be in AAA now, you know, coming off of a season where you were, you know, the best player in the minor leagues in 2024?
I would say no. I would have no idea that would happen. Just kind of just happened, you know? Yeah, and I know I caught Christian in Worcester a couple of times, had a chat with him over there in the dugout. Thank you for your help on multiple articles. You can go check out the article on the Traject machine and all the use that's being done on those machines throughout the Red Sox organization and also the Minor League Player of the Year award. So I was happy to be able to write that. But I know something that, you know, we talked about a little bit and something that's been kind of prevalent within your particular story, Red Sox bat speed training, some of the changes that you made throughout the offseason, some of the work that you put in. I know Brian Abraham, you know, player development director for the Red Sox, really hammered this home that it's on Christian for the work that he put in. Tell us a little bit about some of the work that you did, some of the changes that you made to really tap into more impact this year.
Well, last year at Georgia Tech, I was mainly a ground ball hitter, line drive hitter, never really hit the ball in the air too much, but I made really good contact. And when I got drafted by the Red Sox, that's one of the things that we could change was trying to hit the ball in the air more consistently and still hard. And they got me on a bat speed program and a bat path program. And we worked on that all in the off season leading up to the season. And this is the first season that I've put it like kind of all together, mixed in some bat speed, worked on my bat path. I kept my bat to ball skills and my swing decisions were still pretty good this year. So kind of mixing it all together, just kind of drove this whole season.
Can you give us more context on what that's like, especially for young ball players that are aspiring to be in your spot someday? What does it mean to go through a program like that? Because that didn't exist, I don't know, even maybe 5 years ago, let alone 10 years ago. So how did that work from, you know, as much as you can describe from step one to where you are now, you know, who approaches you and what specifics did you learn about, you know, swing speed and bat path that made you this, you know, into the product that you are now in the minor leagues?
Really just the Red Sox player development staff told me all about this. I honestly didn't know anything about it either coming into the Red Sox system, and really just staying committed to the program and staying with it each day at a time. I mean, it's not going to happen obviously like in a week or in a day or 2 days, but consistently working on it. I would say I've been working on it for the last like 6 to 8 months, maybe 8 months to a year now. And it's like slowly gotten better and better and better. I mean, the bat speed program's really good. You know, we pick up the heavy bats and we swing those in the cages and work on different things with that. And my bat path is really just a feel thing at the end of the day, because I kind of had a more of a narrow bat path before, and I'm trying to get more loft on the ball is a big change that I've been working on for a minute. So, yeah.
Christian, like you said, you were more of a ground ball, you know, good contact, hitting for average, getting on base, doing, you know, defensive athleticism, defensive versatility, defensive ability all at Georgia Tech. But what does it feel like as you start to develop into that guy? It's like, hey, I'm someone now who can really drive the ball. I'm someone who, you know, is there a transformation that kind of you go through as a hitter when you're doing that, when you come to that realization like, hey, I can really do damage. I can get in counts where I've got the advantage over the pitcher here. Did that happen early this year? Did you start feeling it quickly, or is that kind of a little bit of a slower transformation?
I would say definitely a little bit of a slower one. I mean, I definitely started feeling it in the beginning of the year in Greenville, and sometimes swinging too hard at the wrong time or like making up my mind whether it's like I want to hit the ball this or that or this count, or do I want to swing for the fences, like trying to find an in-between sometimes. That's really the biggest thing for me. I think I found it this year. It was just, it kind of came as the season came along, I would say, like about halfway through the year when I got the double A, I think it really clicked. Had a little bit more swing and miss, I would say, in Greenville in the beginning, and it just clicked in Portland. I just kept going from there.
And that's actually what I was going to follow up with, was, you know, looking at the numbers and kind of tracking that as we get data and drips and drabs throughout the season, sort of looking at your in zone miss rate. Those numbers continue to improve as you moved along. You talked about your strong approach. That was something that has been with you, you know, even before probably you were at Georgia Tech, talking to some area scouts that saw you in high school. How hard was it staying inside of that approach and really being stubborn to like the right pitches to swing at, etc., knowing that the work you're going to put in eventually was going to lead to better results?
I try to do too much because this is my first year, like, actually hitting the ball in the air, like, for home runs and stuff. So it was, like, exciting at the same time to me, but you just got to know when to use it and use it at the right times in certain situations and certain counts. And you can't be too aggressive, but I'm still pretty aggressive.
Christian, let's finish with this two-part question. Number one, if things keep going in a great direction, do you have a goal in mind and a plan in place and communication with the Red Sox to be on the opening day roster next year? And part two is, should we really make sure that the world knows, Red Sox Nation knows, there's a big four, not a big three, like there was talked about and marketed, you know, with your friends, Kyle Teal, Roman Anthony, and Marcelo Meyer?
Yeah, it's definitely a big four. Yeah, with those guys in there too. But yeah, they're all super talented, super good. And they're really good human beings on and off the field. It's a really good group of us that are coming up through the system right now. And this offseason, I'm going to just continue to put in the work and listen to my coaches, the staff, and work on some things I need to work on. So hopefully I can be on the opening day roster after spring training.
Well, we'd love to see it. And congratulations again on winning a very historic, prestigious award, the 2024 Baseball America Minor League Baseball Player of the Year, is Christian Campbell in the Red Sox organization. Christian, thank you so much for joining us. Congrats again. And have an awesome offseason too, okay?
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, appreciate you. Great talking to you. That's Christian Campbell. And here on Hot Sheet, we will be right back. And then we are going to announce our Pitcher of the Year award for 2024, according to Baseball America.
I love a great deal, but I'm not going to run sprints in the outfield just to save a few bucks. It has to be easy. No hoops, no BS. With Mint Mobile, it really is that easy to get wireless for $15 a month with the purchase of a three-month plan. Purchase and activation is super easy too.
To get started, go to mintmobile.com/territory. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/territory. That's mintmobile.com/territory. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/territory.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on their first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. We mean it. We have a college baseball writer opening at Baseball America right now. And where are we posting it? Indeed. Because Indeed makes hiring easy and it gives us great candidates. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses, including Baseball America, worldwide, that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Here we go. We're back. And JJ, we're ready to make the next announcement. We got the player down. Now let's get the pitcher down for player of the year here in the minor leagues, according to Baseball America. What'd you guys come up with?
So this one was also at the end of the day, kind of a little bit easy, because if you look back, you know, it used to be Dwight Gooden threw 300 strikeouts in a minor league season. That's something we'll obviously never see again. But nowadays, I would say the mark that's almost impossible is 200 strikeouts. We've seen it once since 2012 going into this year. but now it's been twice. Brandon Pfaadt did it a couple of years ago. Great season in Reno for the Diamondbacks. And now Quinn Matthews has done so in a season that saw him cover four different levels in the Cardinals organization. Started low A, dominated high A, double A, triple A, 202 strikeouts, lights out season, both, you know, as far as ERA, as far as strikeouts, as far as hits allowed, was among minor league leaders in all those categories. And Quinn Matthews, because of all that, because of a season that basically saw him go again, kind of sensing a theme here, a 2023 draftee who is already in AAA, already knocking on the door. Quinn Matthews, congratulations, our Baseball America 2024 Minor League Pitcher of the Year, in what will probably hopefully be only the only full season that Quinn will ever spend in the minor leagues. Congratulations on a remarkable season. How does it feel now? You know, the last day of the AAA season just wrapped up. I have to imagine it was a pretty whirlwind season where you go from basically spring training, kind of getting to know your teammates, to knocking on the door of the big leagues by September.
Yeah, again, thank you guys. It means a lot to be here. It means a lot to be selected as Pitcher of the Year. So I appreciate, you know, Baseball America showing me a little bit of recognition there. But it was definitely a long year. I mean, in the sense of, like, basically the guys I started out with in spring training, I was with them for spring training, and then some of them I didn't play with because it was the rookie ball guys and some of our low A guys. So I basically started at the bottom.
Yeah, we'll bring them back. While we're doing that, we can tee off Jeff, because Jeff has been basically kind of, I would say, like, been one of our leading. Oh, there it is. Quinn's back. Welcome back.
Yeah. There you go, Quinn.
You guys got me?
Yeah, yeah. You're good. Sometimes phone call comes in. Hey, you might have a teammate that just caught that. But keep going, dude.
No. Yeah. So like I was saying, I was kind of with just a different group of guys. It felt like every 6 weeks or so. And I mean, the spring training group was awesome. And then it was the Palm Beach squad. And they, you know, they won the Florida title, which was pretty sweet to see for those guys. Proud of those guys down there. But it was definitely a whirlwind. You know, like I said, it went from Palm Beach to Peoria, and then Peoria to Springfield, and then Springfield to Memphis, where, you know, I finally got beat up pretty badly up there. So it was an interesting way to end the season.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, you know, directly, you know, I saw you on the Cape with, you know, Catuit a few years ago, you know, obviously followed your career at Stanford, pitched in some really big games there. You're more of a pitchability guy than a stuff guy. I think the narrative around that has really changed. You know, average 94.6 miles per hour on the fastball. So I guess my question is, coming into pro ball, how did the stuff jump? What sort of stuff were you doing in the offseason? What sort of work were you doing with the Cardinals, or maybe on your own, that allowed you to add those extra ticks on the fastball?
Yeah, like you said, the narrative basically my whole career had just been a pitchability guy with very minimal stuff. I mean, the changeup had some acknowledgement as being potentially, you know, slightly above average, but nothing was really eye-opening. And to be honest with you, that kind of frustrated me, because I think that was the biggest detriment, was just like the stuff wasn't quite there. And, you know, with baseball where it is now, you know, stuff is pretty important, especially getting swing and miss. So that was just the whole goal of the offseason. I went to work, especially, I mean, in the weight room with the Cardinals, they put together a good plan that I just followed, added, I mean, now I'm probably up almost 30 pounds from when I got drafted out of my senior year. So quite a significant amount of weight. And then I had a throwing program with, you know, my kind of my baseball guy now. His name's Bryson Nakamura. He's the man. And we put together a little bit of a plan in the offseason just to, you know, try and maximize the velocity and see what I had in the tank. And, yeah, I mean, that was just basically all I did, was I got pretty bitter and pretty upset with everything. And, you know, just had to go to work and try to put my head down. And, you know, when no one was paying attention, that's when the work's being done.
So, Quinn, you did that work. How did it feel? How did you feel different as a pitcher this year? I mean, obviously it's your first full year in pro ball, but you came out, you know, you were definitely not a pitchability guy. You know, if that would have been the knock against you, now it's something where it's like, hey, this is a fire breathing dragon who has four pitches that you've got to worry about. Did it allow you to do things a little differently now? You still have the feel, you still know how to set up hitters, but now it's like, here's 96, 97 if I need it. Here's a, you know, more powerful, you know, breaking balls as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the biggest thing too, in terms of like stuff is awesome at the end of the day, but now having run the gauntlet, there is stuff throughout the minor leagues, even in like the rookie ball, like the FCL and the ACL, there is stuff throughout. And that's not what really separates the guys. And that's kind of what I've learned, is stuff doesn't really do anything but buy you grace. If you can't locate, you can't set hitters up, you can't execute pitches, then you're going to get hit, or you're just going to walk guys, because these guys are trained so well with the strike zone, They command the strike zone so well. They don't really chase, especially, you know, once you're up in the Double A and Triple A, they're hunting their zones at the end of the day. So the stuff, you know, has really helped in terms of buying you grace, and you might be able to miss a little more middle. You don't have to locate quite as well. But other than that, I mean, these guys see plenty of stuff.
I'll just kind of set this up, because the thing I want to ask him about when we get Quinn back is the fact that he's also Mr. Durability. You know, he was second in Division I last year in strikeouts. A certain guy named Paul Skeens, you know, was number one. You know, this year he's number one in the minors. But Quinn, that's what, now that you're back, I did want to kind of ask you, like, do you also take pride, like, your durability? You're someone that goes to the post and then goes pretty deep into games pretty regularly as well, like, which is still a key component of being a starting pitcher. How important is that to you? Like, you just came through an inning. Not a whole lot of guys are throwing 143 innings in the minors, which obviously sets you up pretty well when you get to the majors as well, when all of a sudden it's going to be like, hey, can we get 180, 190, 200 out of you?
Yeah, I think, you know, college especially, being a Friday guy, and I mean, props to, you know, all the Friday guys throughout the country, you kind of set up the weekends. So you have to pitch deep into games. And that's like the biggest difference between pro ball and college, is like a Friday guy, you're going to be forced to push yourself deeper into games. And, you know, not being as efficient as I needed to be in college, I ended up throwing a lot more pitches. And that's where in pro ball, I mean, the expectation doesn't really change. I'm not like, oh, I can five and dive now just because I'm in professional baseball. Like, personally, I still wanted to pitch a team into the sixth and seventh inning and save the bullpen and stuff like that and put together quality starts. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I don't know what the numbers are anymore, but I believe it used to be like 84% of quality starts end up in wins at the big league level. So that's the ultimate goal, is to help your team win as many games as possible. And, you know, the mindset doesn't really change. That's just kind of what's been bred into me throughout, you know, college, not professional baseball.
What was your pitch count high in college?
Yeah, well, in one outing, 156.
Woo! Dude, that is good, okay? We rarely get that anymore. So the reason I asked that, and I knew the number, and some fans were pointing it out in our chat right now, is we see a game that has pitchers not going as deep as they used to. We see plenty of pitching injuries, more so probably than ever before. Part of your individual missions, do they involve, say, trying to pitch 200 plus innings in the big leagues? It's almost the rarest stat in our sport for pitchers these days. I got to look at the current tally, but I mean, we're almost never seeing it anymore. So is that something on your mind? And if so, is it something that you can communicate with the organization and actually work on to get to that point and for them to give you that leeway? Because I know it's a two-way street there. The team has to kind of set you up for that, right?
To be honest with you, the ultimate goal is to win the division and then win a World Series. So whatever I have to do in terms of innings, that's what, you know, I want to do for the organization. I mean, if I need to throw 100 innings in the regular season and then throw another 100 in the postseason, like, it doesn't really matter to me, in the sense of I just want to win and help the team win and, you know, give the team the best chance to win every single time you set foot on the mound, because, again, that's all you can ask for as a pitcher. You don't win games, you just don't lose them, because you don't win ever 0-0. I don't hit. You know, it's a bummer. The NL doesn't hit any more pitching. I'd probably get my licks in. But, I mean, like I said, that's just not in my you know, control. And also, I don't really worry about it. Like I said, if the org needs me to throw 250 innings in a season, hopefully I'm good enough to do that.
Quinn mentioned it. The only speed bump he hit at all was at the end of the season, got a late season call up to AAA. And those outings were probably his roughest of the year. Quinn, you know, I wanted to ask you, welcome back. But you mentioned that your AAA.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know either.
No, you're good. You're good.
But your AAA starts, that was the only kind of speed bump you hit all year. What do you take from that? What do you take into the offseason? What did you learn from that first taste of, of the highest level of the minors?
Yeah, AAA, those hitters kicked my butt, to be honest with you. And, you know, like I said, September was not friendly to me this year, and that's all right. I mean, I learned that at the end of the day, I can't try and do more even if the stuff isn't quite there. And that's what I was trying to do, especially early on in those AAA outings. And the hitters, like I said, are too good. They're too well-trained. They don't chase, they don't swing and miss as much, and they stick to their approach. So when the stuff does start to tick down, or you're not feeling, you know, 100% of what you normally are, you still have to go out there and put together a quality outing. And that's what I really didn't do. I'd say through the first three was I didn't put together quality outings. And, you know, when you're throwing two and a third because you're, you know, trying to do too much and get frustrated with yourself, you're not going to help the team win too many games, and you're going to screw up the bullpen for the rest of the week. So, you know, selflessly, you kind of have to keep yourself in check a little bit and be like, hey, I might need to get 0-0 contact today. I might need to get 1-0 contact today. I can't be afraid of, you know, a guy putting a ball in play instead of trying to throw a perfect pitch and getting a swing and miss or getting a take on a borderline pitch. That was just the biggest adjustment. And then, you know, trying to physically now adjust in terms of I need to be as sharp as I can be through September and hopefully October, because ultimately those are the most important games. So it'll be an adjustment in terms of my workload throughout the year and how I'm playing catch throughout a week, and then as well as just my off-season training.
One more quick one for you. I mean, you had the ABS system, right? Or was it challenge for you? ABS?
No, challenge. I pitched a challenge both in low A. Yeah, I never had ABS.
You had challenge. Okay. Did you like it?
Mm-hmm. No.
You didn't like it?
No, it's terrible. Like I said, the hitters are winning more calls than I am, especially early in games as a starter. You're not really – I'm never tapping my head. And a catcher is less inclined to tap his head through the first six innings. So, you know, you throw a great pitch that's like a third of a ball off, fourth of a ball off. You're like, wow, like that's a great pitch. You know, located that well. Ump gives it to you. The hitter knows the zone. And he just goes, yep, tap, tap. Oh, that's, you know, half an inch off. Sorry. Let's get back to the at-bat. So, not at the like I said, the triple A hitters are too good. They know the zone
too well. Yeah, no, you're right. It's a momentum swing. And yeah, if the pitchers are getting a few more calls here and there, yeah, the hitters are fighting back. So it's cool. It's been a big topic of discussion, of course, in the major league world, but cool to hear the perspective because, you know, I'm not catching every game down there, but very interesting. So by the, you know, it might be up in a year or two in the big leagues. You know, it might be next year or the year after. It might be there, not the ABS, but the challenge system might be there when you're there.
I love the challenge system. The zone in low A is great. They give you an extra inch and a half on each side. You know, the top of the zone's the top of the zone. They chop that down in AAA as well. So, you know, that low A zone's great. The AAA one's tight.
All right. So maybe we'll do some zone adjusting and then we can have the challenge system to get that happy medium, you know?
Yeah. As long as the zone adjusting's, you know, being adjusted by pitchers and not hitters.
I think a hitter just called him and said, hey, leave the zone alone. Yeah. Incredible. All right, we'll try and say a quick goodbye to Quinn on the way out here. Obviously, it's been a great combo.
I need a new laptop or something because this is just crazy. It just keeps refreshing my page and logging out.
Oh, it's refreshing. I was going to say, are you getting calls? Because sometimes they get a call and it'll flash.
It says like this page is reloaded because of significant memory, and I shouldn't have that problem with this laptop. So maybe I need to head out to Apple and see what's wrong with it.
Well, dude, you're doing your homework. You got a lot of good prep on that computer to be able to do what you did this year. So congratulations on winning this award. Obviously, it's historic. It's really cool. You should, you know, celebrate those individual accomplishments. I know the team is on the mind, but enjoy the offseason, man, and everything that you did this year. And we're excited to see what happens next season. All right.
Will do. Again, thank you, Baseball America. I appreciate you guys and, you know, all the support you guys have showed me, not only this year, but, you know, throughout my time and journey in college. So, you know, keep up the great work. And I do appreciate the love and support from you guys.
Thank you, Quinn. Yeah, really well said.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Quinn. Appreciate you. Good luck. Quinn Matthews winning the 2024 Baseball America Minor League Pitcher of the Year Award. And really cool there, JJ. Obviously, you know, you and the team put a lot into everything, but these awards as well. I'm sure there's, you know, heated discussions behind the scenes. Like you said, it wasn't too difficult this time around. Sometimes it is, but, you know, Quinn's following. I know most prospects are. You know, they're seeing where they're ranked. They're seeing what the write-ups look like. It does really help to tell the story of a player that not everybody can watch that frequently.
And the other thing that stands out with that we enjoy watching is how players develop. Like Quinn mentioned that he was 30 pounds lighter when he was in high school. Christian Campbell, I mean, look, if you take our Christian Campbell report from college and you look at it now, you're like, oh, they missed it. That's a nice one, by the way. That's really good. Good job, coaches. But Christian Campbell is a whole different player. And that's the thing I think is kind of a worthwhile thing to mention here. We're talking about player development. We're talking about players getting better. In both the case of Campbell, our player of the year, and Matthews, our pitcher of the year, these are guys who, as we end the 24 season, are significantly better players than they were coming out of 23. That's what teams are doing. That's what players are doing. They're putting in the work. They're getting better. And the game, you know, these players just keep getting better and better. And they improve so quickly because teams, players, trainers nutrition, everything is all working together to help players kind of unlock new levels. And we saw it in both cases of Christian Campbell and Quinn Matthews.
And really cool, you know, this year to get both of these guys on Hot Sheet live to talk it out and make the announcement here. A really cool step with this award process. So congrats again to both. And we'll be right back on Baseball America Hot Sheet to wrap things up after this. All right, this one's for the dudes. You know how scary it can get when you're going for a close shave below the belt, and that's why FT trusts Manscaped for those sensitive areas. Their newest package is the Performance Package 5.0 Ultra, including the star of the show, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra.
Their fifth generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires.
Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 5.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Want more wet products? Say no more. Manscaped has a new Buff Bundle. This bundle includes their signature silicone scrubber plus body wash, so ditch your nasty loofah and grab a taste of freshness.
Join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Get 20% off plus free shipping when you go to manscaped.com and use code FOUL20.
All right, we're back on Baseball America Hot Sheet, and let's finish strong here, JJ. Let's give a little love to the team behind the scenes and what you put together, you know, with the prospect handbook and the book bundle that's coming out there with, you know, the flashy cover, the whole deal. So lay it out for us what 2025 looks like and what people can do to get their hands on it.
So yeah, we talked about the Red Sox Big Four. Well, you see right there, we have another member of the Big Four on the cover. Our current number one prospect in the game, Roman Anthony, is the cover subject of the 2025 Baseball America Prospect Handbook. We put these on sale pre-order today. Obviously, they're not ready yet. Hey, we can't do the almanac, can't do the handbook yet. Season's not over, but we are working on them already. Jeff and I were talking about his Cubs list literally right before we came onto the show. And you can check that out, baseballamerica.com/store. You can already pre-order. We have the three-book bundle where if you buy all three of them, the almanac, the handbook, and the directory, you get a very good savings on that. And by the way, if you buy them from Baseball America, get like me where you have the handbooks all behind you, you know, year by year. You also, if you buy them from Baseball America, I will send you a digital copy of it even earlier. So in very early January, you're going to have the handbook in your hands. The almanac you'll have before Christmas, a digital PDF of it for you to enjoy if you order it from us. Same with the directory. We send out a free digital copy in addition. If you buy the print product, you also get the digital. Or if you just want the digital, if you just want to have it on your tablet, things like that, you can also buy all those at baseballamerica.com/store. All of our books, the three books, are coming back again this year. We're busy at work on them already.
That's awesome. Yeah, make sure you check all of that out and hit up baseballamerica.com to get yourself a subscription in general, too, to check out everything that's out there on the website. I'll give you last word, Jeff, because I know you've been writing about and covering the Red Sox prospects for quite some time. And, you know, there's an episode of Hot Sheet that can be digested that really gets in depth on all of those players. But what was your impression just now of chatting with Christian Campbell about his season and him even telling us that he wasn't aware of some of the modern tools that were available that could help him make improvements until the past year? And he's now gotten to see the differences here.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, the thing that always strikes me, the few times that I've spoken with Christian in person and then of course here, is just he's such a humble, down-to-earth kid. You don't necessarily see that with guys that are this talented in sports. I think we've seen plenty of examples of that. And it's, you know, a testament to him and those around him, you know, that have had an influence on him, that he's very coachable. He's somebody that's willing to embrace, you know, uncomfortable situations, I think is probably the best way to put it, just in terms of some of their training. You know, if you go and you read a little bit about the trajectory article I did, no one really hits well off of those machines and they're constantly being challenged in those environments. I know it's something that the Red Sox are going to plan on doing further along this offseason in terms of inviting folks down to the Fort Myers facility and training with them in the offseason and building on some of this stuff. And I think the gains that he made, you know, credit to him because of the amount of work that he put in, but also being able to sort of strip that ego aside, struggle a little bit and realize that it's going to be just that much easier when he gets into the game. And I think we've seen that in the results.
Yeah, we have. Awesome to get them both on again. Thanks to both of them and congratulations. And lastly, I'll finish where we started. Can't wait to see Jackson Jobe shining with the Detroit Tigers for the rest of the week and probably for the postseason as well. If you'd like more information on him, we did a prospect profile segment to really get into Jackson Jobe's season and what he projects as in the future. I mean, this year he's going to be used in, you know, a hybrid, weird kind of way. Whatever the Tigers want to do, whatever they're doing right now, it's working. But this is a bona fide stud who could be a number one next to Tarek Skubal, a 1-2 punch there for the Tigers for years to come. So check out that prospect profile over on the BA YouTube channel and wherever you get your pods. For JJ and Jeff over at Baseball America, I'm Scotty Braun. We'll see you next week on Hot Sheet.